Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And speaking of apps, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 132. This one's going to go out to baseball, because baseball's back, and I've enjoyed watching it this week, even though my fantasy team has not been doing so hot to get. But it's a long season, so, and no one wants to hear about someone else's fantasy team. So anyhow, this goes out to you, baseball, and this goes out to all you listeners jumping in here with us. Like I said, episode 132 of the podcast. I would be your host. Oh, what's my nickname now? I haven't come up with the nickname this week. That's how unprepared I am for this. Let me figure out what my nickname's going to be. I'm the Funk Master, Jeff Fox. That's what my nickname is this week. Thank you for checking us out. Hopefully you'll listen to us on our feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, so you can get us in your ear holes or whatever hole you want to stick us in as soon as we drop the episode. All right, we're going to crack right down to it, because I'm just getting over a non-COVID-related illness, and who knows how long this voice of mine will hold out. Luckily, my co-host likes to talk, so we'll let him here. And we both had a very good weekend with picks, so this will be a triumphant episode for sure. He is known as Gumby. I don't have any fancy nicknames for him right now. Gumby's as fancy as you get. If you're really tight with him, you can call him Danny, but professional level, he's Daniel or Gumby. That would be Mr. Reland. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening? Pretty good night for picks.
You didn't give me enough. Yeah, you didn't give me enough to like shit on.
Nope. I had nothing.
Which is usually what I do. And yeah, I mean, we both did good. Yep. Really good. Yep. And the fights were insanely exciting.
Yes, they were. I'm saving my voice to brag about how good we did. Superfan John does have a question for us. And I said we'll have to wait and see if we can answer it or not, because I'm going to be spending most of the time bragging about going 10-2.
And I was 9-3.
9-3. Yeah.
And I'm okay with the one that's going to hold me back from you too, because ultimately it is the one fight that. Is that Gilbert Burns, Khamzat Chimaev fight. And if you had a Gilbert Burns ticket in that fight, you don't get to cash it. But you do get pretty good about what you picked, too, because that is not a plus 385 underdog right there. That was much closer to a pick-em.
And Gilbert Burns won anyhow, because Dana White's going to pay him his win bonus of portion of his pay. So you can see all the payouts, obviously, over on my website /newsletter, moneymma.substack.com. But Dana White says he's going to pay him his other half of his pay, despite not technically winning the fight. Plus, he got fight of the night bonus. So yeah, it was a good night for Gilbert Burns, despite technically losing the fight. And it was a give, you know, as I said, it was a very good night for us. The only ones I got wrong were the two tightly contested, I don't want to say controversial because I don't think they're controversial decisions, but tightly contested split decisions. But we'll dive into that. Actually, let's just dive into it right now. Let's stop playing around. Like I said, who knows how long I'll be able to last before I start coughing again. So let's just jump right into it. After I tell you about WinBet, of course, make sure to get down on the WinBet's wins. I messed it up again. Two times in a row. We're going to start over. Here we go. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $10, win a $200 promotion, where a $10 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, WinBet Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And, of course, don't forget to get involved in their same-game parlays with the Win's own Build Your Own Bet feature. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit WynNBet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also, Coors Light, y'all. Do you ever feel like you're always on? Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues and expectation to be on 24-7 or 25-8, as some people say. Maybe more on him later. Well, if we have time, there may be more on that man later. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. What can I tell you about Coors Light? The mountains on the bottle and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. When I need to take a second for myself or reach for the beer that's made to chill, get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. And remember to always celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And there was a lot of celebrating last night for people who followed our picks. Even though there's always, I still, in the SGPN Slack, it's still like, it can't go through an event without someone reminding me that, oh yeah, Gumby's my man. Oh yeah, I'm a Gumby guy. It's always, despite me constantly beating you in picks, it's always, yeah, I'm following Gumby here.
Well, were you, out of curiosity, because I don't remember all that well. I do remember half the Superfan Jong parlay hit. The other half sadly went KO instead of submission, which threw it off just ever so slightly from a 14-1.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You're right.
It was, yeah, I got the decision I wanted out of Mark Madsen over Vince Pichel. The only other thing was a Mike Malott submission, and I said he would tag him and bag him, and he tagged him, but then
body bag him.
Decided to continue to tag him again and again and again and again instead of jumping on for a sub, which ultimately was probably the right decision. Like, if he doesn't, if he goes for the sub and doesn't get it, then he's grappling with Mickey Gall, which is the opposite of what he wanted to do. So, yeah, like, good move on Mike Malott, but at the end of the day, that close to the 14-1 parlay. And how were the, you know, I don't want to bury the lead here, but how were the recommended ones? I thought I broke even.
You did, yeah. We both pretty much broke even. I was down a little bit. You're up a little bit. So we'll get to that enough.
So that's why they love me again. Just
of course. Of course. All right. So UFC 273, very exciting event. Despite a lot of decisions, everything was decision except three fights. But not too many fights. You can really complain about saying it was boring or anything like that. We lost the fight as is normally the case. It seems. We ended up losing after we had the picks put in. We lost one of the big boys. We lost, who got sick, Dan?
Rosenstrike and,
It was Tybura that got sick.
Yeah. Tybura, it said, I think non-COVID illness. Actually, it might've just
said,
it might've said illness and not non-COVID.
Oh, that's
so maybe, good. Yeah, maybe that was their way of saying you. Also, what a shame for that dude, because like, if it is indeed COVID and I don't mean to speculate, but like, this is a guy who traveled from his training location all the way to London to back up that main event a couple of weeks ago, and was completely healthy through the whole thing, then flew back to his training spot, which, if I'm not mistaken, the American Top Team, and then flew back to Vegas for that, and only after the very last leg of that trip is when he pulled up ill. So really unlucky on his part.
I always assume these things are weight cut related, but probably not for heavyweight. So So hopefully he's okay and gets hopefully they can just reschedule that fight on one of the cards coming up later on this month even. Who knows? Well, this one went down yesterday from the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida. Let me go to my site and I can tell you the gate and the purse. Money MMA is the spot you want to go. Attendance, 14,605. Gate was 3.55 million, which I think is the UFC's, their biggest gate in that arena. So it was a packed house hanging from the rafters. We'll start from the top. Main event, Alexander Volkanovski has cemented his legacy, perhaps, or at least added another line to his resume and put him probably further into the discussion as the greatest fighter going right now by TKOing Chan Sung Jung, a.k.a. the Korean Zombie. Round four, 45 seconds into it, after he very gentlemanly asked him if he's sure he wanted, he asked Korean Zombie if he's sure he wanted some more of this punishment. So either he was being like super nice or he was like really like warning him, like I'm going to turn your lights out if you decide to fight some more. Because Jung pretty much was done at the end of round three. They let him continue, but Herb Dean stopped the fight. It was one of those very rare TKO while the fighter that got TKO'd was still standing, but it was the right call to end that fight. Volkanovski, too fast and just playing too good. He seems to be getting better with every fight still, which is a scary thing for the rest of the weight class. Not that Zombie was the top contender out there. He was a worthy contender, but he's definitely not the toughest test out there. But regardless, Volkanovski passed the test with flying colors. We had him at very nice minus 750. So we made a big 1333 off our $100 in that fight. Anything to add, Mr. Vreeland?
Yeah, so I want to get to that point about Chan Sung Jung not being the top contender. But first, I do just want to mention great stoppage by Herb Dean. Like we yep. shit on that guy all the time. Like great stoppage by Herb Dean. And on the note of Korean Zombie not being the top contender, you're 100% right. He isn't the best guy in that division. He wasn't the number one contender for the title. But here's the thing that for me, like, really cemented how good Alexander Volkanovski is in this fight is, like, that's a dude who doesn't take unnecessary risks. He doesn't push forward in such a way that, like, he puts himself in danger. And he never has, like, right in the Max Holloway fight, very smart. The Jose Aldo fight, very smart. Chad Mendes fight, super smart. Like, he just fights with as little risk as possible while being able to win the fight. He did that here, too, but it was so easy for him to hit Korean Zombie that still wasn't risking anything. So he just went for it because he was like, there's still no risk. I can get in there, hit him four times, and get out of there before he counters. And he was doing it with regularity, being the much shorter guy. I mean, it was just like an absolutely incredible, complete performance for Volkanovski.
Yep. Yeah, not much else to say there. He couldn't have done better than he did, basically. It wasn't a quick finish that you could say was a fluke or anything like that, and he didn't drag it out to a decision victory. He finished his opponent when he had the chance to, and he was never in danger. He might have got hit a couple times, but basically that whole fight was his. He controlled it, and that's what you're supposed to do when you're fighting a opponent who may not be the top contender or even number two, number three, anywhere in that range for your belt. He took care of business, and like I said, further cements his status as either one or two in the greatest of current times debate.
Yeah, I most likely, and I've been sitting on this for a while, I think when I officially submit my rankings either late tonight or early tomorrow, I think he moves to the number one spot in pound for pound, which is obviously like such a hard decision to ask. But like I said before, you know, do you rate two wins over Max Holloway as better than Colby Covington? Absolutely, in my opinion. Do you rate a win over Jose Aldo as being better than, you know, two over Masvidal? Absolutely. Where do you rank a Chan Sung Jung win? And it's like, you know, right around where I would rank a Gilbert Burns win. So like, yeah, I mean, like he's probably got a better resume than Usman at this point. And, you know, it's hard to imagine anybody with any kind of style beating him. Like, I just can't imagine. You know, I can't say that, like, if we had, like, a super wrestler in that division, they'd come in and wrestle him up. I feel like they'd fail at that. If, you know, there was a – we've seen one of the best boxers in the sport in Max Holloway have a terrible time boxing him. And, like, it just seems like this guy is on a different level than everybody else. So, look forward to seeing him, whoever he fights next. If it is Max again, that's fun. If it is, you know, Josh Emmett or Jair Rodriguez or, you know, whoever it is they're cooking up in that division – I'm down for anything with that guy. That guy's so fun to watch.
No doubt. Do you see any holes at all in his game at this point?
I don't think so. Like, you know, everything that I see that I – anytime I think about breaking him down and saying, like, oh, he's got this issue or that issue, it's all speculative, you know, in my opinion. Like, I sort of think that at some point in time, like, a really long fighter is going to give him issues. But at the same time, like, we've seen him fight Max Holloway twice. Length didn't give him any issues there. And Chan Sung Jung is actually kind of a long featherweight, too, and that didn't give him issues. And, I think he'd probably wrestle the shit out of, like, a good kickboxer like Giga Chikadze. So, like, I'm not worried about that. I don't think, like, even if Josh Emmett went in with, like, a crazy wrestling style, I don't think I'd go with that. And he doesn't get hit enough for me to really worry about a power puncher. So, yeah, like, anything I think of as a weakness of his is usually speculative. I mean, I guess he ate a few leg kicks here, which kind of worried me. But, like, I don't know that's anybody's game plan down there that he's going to run into it or wouldn't have another way to work around it.
Yep, I don't see anyone on the horizon that's going to beat this man the way he is right now. How about Zombie? I've heard talk that his chin may not be holding up the way it used to. He's been through a lot of, despite having all that time off when he was in the military service, he's taken a lot of damage over his career. So this could be the end of him being a top fighter.
Well, and he said himself in the post-fight interview, and granted, it was through a translation, so we... You know, I don't mean to doubt translators, but once in a while we hear that it didn't 100% relay what he was trying to say. But he said if he doesn't feel like he's at the top of the division or can get back there, he's all done. He's not going to keep doing this. So, I mean, if you're saying that, if you're saying that you feel he isn't, he might retire. But I'll also say this, like, for everybody out there who's like, his chin ain't what it used to be, I sort of beg to differ. I think it is what it always was. In that Leonard Garcia fight, which is where he got the nickname all those years ago, right? The first Leonard Garcia fight all the way back in WEC. WEC never died. He took shots from Leonard Garcia, and they kind of wobbled him or stunned him the same way Volkanovski was stunning him last night. He just, like, punched his way out of it. And, like, he tried to punch his way out this time. He just had a fucking really elusive target in front of him, not Leonard Garcia, you know? So in the same token, like, sure, maybe it's taken a little bit off, but the guy was still standing at the end of that beatdown. So, like, I think his chin is where it always was. I just think, you know, that style has its limitations, especially in a division that has – Brian Ortega, Max Holloway, and Alexander Volkanovski, and used to have Jose Aldo. And he has run into those limitations enough times now.
There you go. Very, very well put. That's why this man is my associate co-host here.
And right. Beloved by thousands.
Apparently. They love you despite results. Question mark, no. I can't crap in a 9-3 week, plus being up money. We did lose the next fight, even though I was kind of happy that Aljamain Sterling won.
I was so happy.
I like the guy, and he deserves it because he's taken a lot of crap, although he brought on some of it himself, but took a lot of crap for something that wasn't his fault. And people claiming that he was faking and all that stuff is just, like, ridiculous. Unless you're in his body, you have no idea whether or not he was faking after getting destroyed by that knee. But anyhow, he won his split decision over Piotr Jan, who we had, we were in on, but like I said, I don't mind losing this one. I think it was the right decision. I had Sterling, I had him for the first three rounds, and then I had Jan for the last two. Jan is, what we're talking about, Volkanovski not having any weaknesses. Jan pretty much doesn't either, other than maybe the mental game. Obviously the illegal knee was a big misstep, and his seeming willingness to give away the first few rounds of fights seems to be an issue too. Because that's what happened last night. He was not aggressive enough in the first round, and that pretty much is the round that decided the winner of the fight, because this is a stupid sport that judges things based on rounds. But anyhow, and then Sterling obviously dominated the next two rounds, and then Jan dominated the last two rounds. But so it all came down in the first round, and Jan was just not aggressive enough. Sterling landed more than him. And that was a typical Piotr Jan thing, that give away the first round or two to gather intel. But you can't do that with Aljamain Sterling, apparently, because he took full advantage of that and rightfully got his hand raised. And I'll take the loss from this one. I have no problem taking this one.
Yeah, and I agree with you that this is the right call. Aljamain Sterling won that first round. Watching in real time, I gave him that first round. And if you want to be somebody who says he didn't win that first round, just know that you are on an island with Chris Lee. One of the worst judges in MMA, albeit slightly better than whoever that schmuck was in Texas when we had that Texas card. Chris Lee's better than...
Always a nightmare.
Yeah, Chris Lee's better than that guy who was like a rocket scientist, right?
Yeah,
remember that guy?
What does Sherdog think, though?
Sherdog actually had it to Sterling. All three guys did. They all gave there are only two people who I saw gave it to Piotr Jan. One is like a tipster. He's like a guy who bets, and I'm guessing he just had a bet on Piotr Jan. So like I very rarely trust, you know, like no offense to tipsters, but like when you're publicly scoring a fight on Twitter and you're posting your scores, like I'm guessing you are posting because you want the guy to win, right? Like you clearly have money on him. They show one guy all the time on the UFC broadcast, and he consistently has the worst scorecards I've ever seen. And it's you always have to assume it's just like that's the reason. So I sort of write that one off. And then the other one is from a place that I've never seen before. It's DD Reporter TV. So those are the only two who scored it for Piotr Jan. I've never heard of Double D Reporter TV. But yeah, Sherdog gave Aljamain Sterling a 10-8 second. Where did you fall on that? Did you just give him straight 10-9s for the first three, or did you give him a 10-8 second?
No, I gave him straight. It doesn't matter what I gave him, but if I was judging, I would have given him 10-9s. I'm not going to say a 10-8 is incorrect or out of the realm of possibility, but the control was there, obviously. The domination was there, but the damage was not. He was working the whole time, but he did not. Jan was able to avoid the submissions and avoid any real heavy strikes landing or damage. So 10-9 is good with me.
Yeah, I scored it 10-8 as I was watching. And then I did just go back and watch just that second round right before we started recording now. And, like, in retrospect, I think I was probably just jacked up. I was just probably feeling the adrenaline of that fight and getting excited that Aljamain Sterling was doing kind of the unthinkable to a lot of people and scored it 10-8. So, like, in retrospect, I think 10-9 was probably right, but it was damn close. Yeah. I'll give him that. And I would say this too. Like you said at the top, Piotr Jan, seen as a guy who kind of has no weaknesses, I would still say he has very few weaknesses, but he is not as good of a grappler as Aljamain Sterling, which is when we broke down this fight all that time ago for round one of these guys for the first time they threw down. I picked Aljo, and I picked Aljo because I thought he was a better grappler than Piotr Jan. We watched them fight. They convinced me the opposite, and I didn't pick him this time because I didn't think he was as good of a grappler. He basically made me eat my words for the first analysis. I wish I could flip-flop the analysis on the last two fights.
And how do your words taste, Dan?
I mean, good, because I love Aljamain Sterling. I've always been such a fan of the guy. He's been on Top Turtle like two or three times before. He's like a really fun dude to talk about. I think he's always had like one of the most fun grappling styles in MMA because he's like he's not a guy who like takes you down and tries to like control you from half guard. He is always looking for your back. Like literally always looking for your back. And it was like
found it quite
when
often.
Ray Borg. Yeah, and when Ray Borg burst onto the scene, he was like the same thing. So it's like Aljamain Sterling is like what I really loved about Ray Borg if he was bigger, faster, and also developed the striking game. And it's just so much fun to watch.
Yes. And are you on the same page as he is saying that you would like him to fight? I'm watching someone make a macaroni and cheese shake, it looks like right now, so I'm distracted. Boy, yes, it's a macaroni and cheese milkshake. Okay, anyhow,
what are you that, doing? Shows you,
it just showed up on my phone. I don't. It's on TikTok, really. Okay. People love making gross food things. Okay. What were we talking about, Dan? Were we talking about?
I don't know, but if you don't name this episode mac and cheese milkshake, I'm gonna be pretty bummed. Yeah, mac and cheese milkshake. You were gonna ask me whether or not I agreed that he should fight TJ Dillashaw next.
Yes, I was. I didn't get the name out of my mouth because I got distracted. Yes,
but I knew
Dillashaw.
I will say this. No, I don't want that because mostly I don't ever want to see TJ Dillashaw on a title shot again because I can't stand the guy. You know, like he ascended to a level of cheating like way beyond anything that I could ever kind of even sort of overlook. And then in addition to that, played a martyr about his time off. The UFC had like cute video packages for him when he came back being like, he's been away for 2 years and no mention of like a terrible drug suspension.
Yeah.
And then he opened a juice bar called Clean Juice. And it's like, come on, come on.
Well, he's embracing it. It's kind of like Aljo, with getting the title last time.
Aljo
did nothing wrong though.
like he didn't do anything wrong. And, like, he just leaned into, like, the hate that he was getting, which was, like, you know, even if it's unfair hate or fair hate, whatever, it wasn't something he did wrong in the first place. So, like, let him eat that hate and, like, build his name. Whereas, like, TJ Dillashaw did something very clearly wrong, and by all accounts of his teammates had been doing so for years prior to being caught. So, to answer your question.
That's just no shock.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see TJ Dillashaw in there. I would love to see Aljamain Sterling versus Jose Aldo. I think that would be both an absolutely exciting fight, crazy styles clash. You'd get a chance to see Jose Aldo fight for a second division title after having a great performance his last time out. Like, yeah, like sign me up for that. But yeah, no, I'm not interested in TJ Dillashaw. Put him aside, let him fight another one. If they decide to go that way, I just hope Aljamain Sterling just like chokes him unconscious in 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're not talking about Macy Barber here, Dan, who is
I think I like Macy Barber more than TJ Dillashaw.
Whoa.
Yeah, because Macy Barber isn't juiced to the gills.
Whoa, bro. That's some harsh words. All right. anything else to say about that fight before we move on, Dan? Or have we said it all?
No, I think we've said it all. I mean, I'm going to be we'll say this. I'm going to be really interested in what they do with Piotr Jan next. Not because like I think there's nothing to do for him, but like if Dillashaw is getting the next title shot and you look behind Piotr Jan, he's already fought Jose Aldo once, so like kind of doesn't make sense again. He's already fought Corey Sandhagen once. I mean, I guess you could try to sell that again. I mean, like, he could go fight Merab Dvalishvili, which would be, like, a kind of a nice way to, like, get back on Aljo's bad side, right? Like, to go fight Aljo's best friend in the whole wide world. I guess there's the winner of Rob Font and Marlon Vera, which is
that's happening soon.
Coming at the end of April. Yeah, the winner of that, I guess, would make sense. But it'll be interesting to see how they book him because he is, like, man, he's so freaking good. But, like, I don't kind of know where he goes from here.
Yep. Agreed. Usually we rip through these recaps of events, but there was a lot of meaningful action last night. So we're digging deeper into this than we normally do because this was actually a stock card with meaningful stuff. All right, before we dig into some more, after you finish your mac and cheese milkshake, you should take some Athletic Greens because we're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. What's an adaptogen, Dan? Do you know that
one? I believe it helps you adapt.
Okay, perfect. To help you start your day right. No, that's what it does. It helps you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All those things, Dan. All of it. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. That's even more than us. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP, of course. Just that, not the of course part, SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Also, Trade Coffee. We are brought to you by Trade Coffee. It's expert taste of coffee. Trade Coffee's team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you. And Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best-tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. Trade's first match guarantee. Trade is so confident that they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback. An actual coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag for free. Well, that sounds like a dang good deal, doesn't it? All right. Here's your call to action, folks. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. Those three letters again, SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP. Let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. All right. Moving along. What do we have next, Dan? Oh, a fight that I just something popped up on Reddit. I think someone's badmouthed you on Reddit, Dan. So I just had to read that, and now we'll move it along.
They badmouthed me on Reddit?
Maybe. Some people don't like your MLB pitcher article you put up, because that's Reddit for you. People like to complain about things. So
darn, I thought it was a good
that's
one.
That's why you try to avoid Reddit at all costs. All right. You should also avoid that Chimaev guy, unless you're a really good fighter. Hamzat Chimaev got his biggest test of his career, as we were hoping, and passed it, I would say, with flying colors. Minus 550 only got on him. So the line, obviously, was a little more skewed than it should have been, because Gilbert Burns did not fight like a plus 400 fighter in there. Quite a fight. He started off like most of them. Chimaev fights start off with him looking to dominate his opponent, putting the pressure on, getting his grappling going. But Burns, as Dan stated, as other people stated, Burns is no easy out here, and he fought him off, even took it to him in round two, but Chimaev won 2-1. Very good fight. Both men came out of it looking good. Their faces probably don't look good today, but their reputations both look very good after that fight. Burns proved to be a very live plus 400 dog.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this is like, I at the end of the day do not feel bad at all about having played Gilbert Burns. Like, I think Gilbert Burns went out there and looked phenomenal. I'll also say this, so many people out there telling me that like this hurt Khamzat stock, and I think with the like general public it may have done that. But let me tell you this, like, I have never been higher on Khamzat Chimaev after this. Like, that was a fight that gave him more stock in my eyes and made him look better in my eyes than any other one. Because what this showed me is if, like, if he gets stuffed in his wrestling, can he box with a top-level guy? And he got stuffed in his wrestling, or at least could not get his ground game going the way he's used to, was forced to box with Gilbert Burns, and could still win that fight. That gives him hope to fight a guy like Colby Covington, I would say he looked bad enough that I give him very little hope against Kamaru Usman. But, like, he looks like now that he is maybe the second or third best guy in the division, whereas before I was like, there's so much we need to answer. And I think for the general public who saw him as, like, a godlike figure who is going to murder Kamaru Usman, yeah, he's come down a little bit from there. But, like, I think now we have a little bit more of a reasonable view of what he looks like.
Yep, without question. It sounds like Covington is what they're looking to set up next. You think Covington takes that fight?
I'm going to be honest. I actually think I would pick Colby Covington in that fight if I had to pick right now. Just because I think, like, what were the things that were best out of Kamza in that fight is it was, like, his forward pressure and his volume overwhelmed Gilbert Burns a little bit, right? The power shots were on Gilbert's side. And I would say this, like, are you going to out cardio and pace and forward pressure Colby Covington? Probably not. In you know, I think the wrestling probably nullifies and it just stays on the feet. Yeah, I think I take Colby in that fight. And it's definitely close, though.
I was going to say, I meant, do you think he's going to accept the fight? But
would Colby accept the fight or Kamza?
No, Colby, because he seems to avoid people at sometimes.
Man, I think if the – man, I guess I don't know. But, like, if the money was right and these we could get these guys on, like, a five-round co-main event or headline – I don't know if he would even headline it fight night card because I feel like he thinks that's beneath him. But this
I
feels
think
like –
they're aiming for – sorry to interrupt. I think they're aiming for the ABC. So it will be a bigger than a fight night. I think they have an ABC special coming up again, network TV. So I think Dana White's aiming for that.
Man,
as a main event,
he might take that if it means he gets another shot at Usman. But, like, man, he's gonna need to beat somebody like Khamzat to get back to Usman, right? Yep. Like, he can't just sit here and beat Jorge Masvidal three times and then get it. So maybe he takes it.
Yeah. What? Anything else you need answered from Chimaev?
You know, I think, like, I have the answers that I need now. I think ultimately it just comes down to whether or not he's going to get better in those boxing problems. Because, like, he's clearly got some holes in his defensive boxing. He clearly has some holes in, like, staying on top of people who are really strong at jiu-jitsu, which was part of my worry for him, right? Like, he did not settle into any top positions, even when he had Burns down. And in the last one, when he had Burns down, he didn't want to jump in Burns' guard, which tells you a lot about what was going on down there. So he felt uncomfortable. So I think I have all the answers I need. The only questions I have is, does he continue to get better? Because I think part of the problem with when you smash everybody, as they like to say, for the ways that he did for years, you sometimes don't find those holes that you really need to work on or that those holes that exist for the top level of competition. He had a few pointed out here, so it's going to be interesting to see how he changes from there.
But he's definitely on that John Jones, Conor McGregor rocket to the top of the division. Very few fighters get on. So, yes, very good fight. Worthy winner of Fight of the Night. Volkanovski won Performance of the Night earlier on. Women's strawweight. I got this one wrong, but this is the only other one I got wrong. And this was another squeaker, very close one, but I'm not complaining about the outcome at all. I had Tisha Torres. It was basically a pick 'em fight. I had her at minus 105, slight underdog. Dan had Mackenzie Dern, minus 115, and Dern came through. Split decision victory. She looking more improved again, once again. Like, every fight, she seems to look a little bit better. She definitely looked good here. You would like to see a bit more, maybe some more urgency when she is implementing your grappling. This isn't like, you go for finishes instead of just, like, chilling out. But other than that, whoever decides they're gonna wait, they're gonna have a baby and then get ripped is it's very interesting because she's totally transformed her body. She always claimed that she was having trouble making weight because she was curvy or so. It was something like it was some excuse like that. But apparently, she just wasn't training and dieting like an athlete because she's in phenomenal shape now. So the reason I mention all that is because that was one of the concerns. Every fight of hers was concerned about her making weight, but that seems to be out the window now. She looks fantastic at strawweight, and Tiesha Torres, no slouch, and she got the victory. Like I said, it was a came down to one round, like the other split decision, but I think the right person won.
Yeah, I scored it for her as well. Like, she just looked better in a lot of different facets. So, you know, if we're gonna hate on the Sherdog scores, which that's my once a recap episode mandate. All three Sherdog guys scored the fight for Tiesha Torres, who obviously didn't win this fight. They also one of them scored the fight for Gilbert Burns. I just want to throw that one out there too.
they also had a draw. No, some people had the co-main event a draw. I don't think it was Sherdog, actually. Usually they're the kings of 10 rounds and whatnot, but yes.
Yeah, but those draws, so I did see a couple of those draws, and it made me scratch my head for a second. I think it was a 10-8 second, along with giving the first to Jan, which both of them, at the end of the day, on second rewatch, kind of questionable decisions, but not the worst scorecards. Scoring it for Gilbert Burns is much worse. I thought Mackenzie Dern was great in there. I think her strikes were more impactful on the feet. I think that's probably why she wins this fight. Yep. She obviously wins the second with superior grappling and looks great in there. I love that, like, weird, she tried to jump guard but, like, stayed up and went for Kimura and then rolled through. I mean, like, I wish I even had some of the language to talk about it, and I'm a jiu-jitsu purple belt, and it was still kind of hard to describe because you just don't see that shit every day, but it was a lot of fun to watch. It's great to see her continuing to progress because I've always thought she had a really high ceiling, and it seems like it's still not actualized, which is awesome, but it still seems like it's up there in the high parts, and I look forward to whatever they try to do with her later, which is she kind of alluded to in her post-fight speech. A lot of people booked at flyweight, not a lot of options for her right now, so she's going to have to wait and see how some stuff shakes out.
Except was this fight not at strawweight?
That's why I said strawweight. Did I not say strawweight?
Oh, I thought you said flyweight, but
we're a long way. Yes, strawweight. A lot of stuff needs to shake out at strawweight.
Yes, for sure, but you can see her headlining a fight night or something like that in the future for sure, depending on the opponent. And then to open up the main card, Mark Madsen beat Vince Paschal. I forgot about his amazing mustache. I think that's the only thing likable about that guy. But Mark Madsen, who I think this happened last time too. Paul Felder turns him into an Irish fellow and calls him O Madsen the whole time, which is
well, he's got the middle initial
and annoying
of O.
Also. I know,
he's
but
got
it's
the
not
middle
part
initial
of his last
o
name.
That he uses.
I know, but it's interesting. But that's not – he says it like it's his full last name is O. Madsen, which is not. But anyhow, Mark Madsen won. He got us some plus money, plus 112. Just wrestled Vince Paschal, who figured he had the fight in the bag, and then he obviously did not.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to me that he thought he won because I didn't think he won under any circumstance. Madsen just absolutely wrestled the hell out of him. Also – this one, I can't believe Madsen went in here as an underdog, especially to win by decision when literally all of Vince Paschal's losses are to dudes who out-wrestled him. And, you know, like I said, we had questions about whether or not the Greco-Roman style of the wrestling was going to play. But, like, at the end of the day, he's a good wrestler, and that's really all it takes to beat Vince Paschal, sadly. And at 39 or however old he is, it's probably not going to change.
Yeah, Paschal's 39. Madsen's 37, so... before anyone thinks that he is the future title contender, no, he is not. So, plus
especially not at lightweight, dude. While his wrestling is definitely good enough to beat a guy like Vince Paschal, like he's gonna run into the Armand Sakurians and the Matrus Gamros and the fucking even RDAs of the division and just get stomped.
Yep. All right. The the greatest fighter on the card, obviously, won in the prelim main event. Ian Garry beat Darian Weeks, unanimous decision, 29-28, 30-27, 30-27. It was fine. It was fine. He won, minus 350. You can we had that one, right? You can see why he's hyped, like, just by, like, even by looking at him and watching him fight, you can see why he's a hype prospect, but this was nothing to write home about.
I'm going to differ with you slightly there.
Oh, good.
I can see why he's hyped in the way that he talks post-fight, in the way that he hypes up his fights pre-fight, maybe in the way that he looks. He seems to be a good-looking guy, but...
I mean that, Dan.
Well, you seem to hint at it.
He has a very nice, lean body, though. It's true.
Sure. But I am not impressed with his striking. Like, he went in there and did less than Brian Barberena did to Darian Weeks. Like, tell me what about that makes me want to see him more. Like, if you're a prospect right now and I would pick Brian Barberena easily over you, you're not really all that much of a prospect because welterweight is deep as hell. You know, like, you've got, like, guys like Daniel Rodriguez in there who, I if I'm not mistaken, still is somehow not ranked. And, like, Brian Barberena, definitely not ranked. And, like, would you bat an eyelash to take those two guys to smash him? Like, I just maybe there's a lot more growth to be had, but, like, I don't know. I'm not really buying the Ian Garry hype yet.
No, definitely am not jumping on the Ian Garry hype train at this point. Middleweights, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez won unanimous decision over Joshua Fremd. Just basically relentlessly took it to him. Fremd did have his moments, but in the end, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. I was on the right side of history there. I had Hernandez. Dan had Fremd.
Yeah, this is one of the only ones I missed. And I will say this, and it's actually the first one I missed on the night, I think. The only thing that I will say to defend my pick here, Josh Fremd, I think it's better takedown defense than that. I'm going to blame the short notice and the weight cut, which obviously I need to factor into my picks. But I thought he would be able to deal with the takedowns better. And I still think on the feet, he probably has a little bit more of a puncher's chance. He looked like he was getting his boxing going before that, like, first couple takedowns. And yeah, like, ultimately great performance by Anthony Hernandez, but I think we're going to see more out of Josh Fremd.
Yep. Fair enough. This is, I started off the night 8-0, so this is my hot streak right here. Raquel Pennington had her, we both had her beating Aspen Ladd, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Hello, Aspen Ladd, apparently in her mind was robbed in this fight, but very clearly Pennington victory here, minus 195.
Yeah, it was probably one of the easier fights to call. Like, Ladd, yep. Ladd won the third. She didn't even come close to winning the first two. And the weird thing is, too, is I don't know if you were listening to the broadcast, because I know sometimes you listen on silence, but, like, they pointed out she fought a lot of this fight in southpaw, which is not usual for her. She fights out of orthodox more often, and it seemed to be, like, something she was more comfortable doing offensively. Like, she decided to make that switch because she thought she had some offensive advantages, and it just blasted her defense. Like, her defense looked awful as a result. But she felt more comfortable coming forward, so maybe it's a decision she made based on the fact that she was so tentative last time and couldn't find her openings. Like, southpaw, she was able to find more openings, but ultimately it hurt her defense, and against somebody like Raquel Pennington, like, it's going to make you look pretty terrible pretty quick.
Yeah, she makes some interesting decisions, her and her camp. Apparently that seems to be, at least the early part of her career, that sums it up there. And then the opener of the prelims, my fellow Canadian Mike Mallott had a very impressive TKO victory over Mickey Gall, 341 into the first round, minus 200. We had him on that. He looks like he could be a pretty decent prospect.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested more to see what he does against, like, really good grappling. Because we said it when he was on the Contender Series, when I was breaking down his fight with Shimon Smotritsky. I really did think Smotritsky had a lot to offer him and was going to give him trouble. But then he hit him with a really hard punch really quickly. And he is a very good puncher. He's got really good sub skills, especially when he follows up a big punch. We saw him beat Sullivan Renfro back in CFFC. Like, I think he's got a lot of tools, but I'm going to be interested to see how he deals with, like, a good pure grappler who is going to not just be good at jiu-jitsu, but be good at wrestling, too. Because, I obviously, there are tons of those dudes at welterweight. But, like, hey, right now, honestly, in all honesty, would you pick Mike Malott in a fight against Ian Garry?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I would, too. I'm not just being a dick.
He's got finishing power.
Yeah, we're talking about Ian Garry being like – and Ian Gary's got finishing power too. We saw him knock out Jordan Williams, who we have to mention contractually once an episode. But, but like, Ian Garry isn't doing anything that, like, makes me go, oh, shit. You know, like, that guy's on his way. Whereas, like, Mike Malott has, like, a couple of those pieces, and maybe we still need to answer some questions. But, like, one of them just knocked out Mickey Gall viciously, and the other one kind of, like, played patty cake with Darian Weeks for three rounds. So – the hype has got to be that he's got a country behind him because Mike Malott maybe just needs to get Canada behind him. But
than Ireland.
Yeah, I think I'd pick Mike Malott over Ian Garry. I'll say that right now.
And his brother is a hockey player. I didn't know his brother is in the Winnipeg Jets organization. So he's got an athletic family. He's going to be 31 in November. So kind of time to get things going for him too. So yeah, fine. If he can make his name off of Ian Garry next, then so be it. Let's do that. All right. Early prelims. Alexei Oleinik got his 60th victory and he got it via submission over Jared Vandera. Scarfold 3:39 into the first round. And he got himself a bonus for that too. Did Vandera, was he always that quote unquote chunky, Dan?
Yeah. He's always been shit.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's never looked good.
Anyhow, Oleinik does not look good in the feet, but he knows how to win fights once they get to the ground, and that's what he did.
Let me tell you my favorite part of this fight. He gets into the clinch and just falls down onto his back, holding on to Vandera. And then goes through a very fun array of sweeps and deep half guard and all kinds of interesting shit off of his back, including getting to that scarf hold position by dismounting a really good position. So, like, yeah, like, I mean, it's so much fun to watch Alexei Oleinik on the ground. Also, shout out to Jared Vandera, who, once he got backstage, immediately asked Alexei Oleinik if he would show him his Ezekiel choke, which Oleinik obliged him and taught him all of the secrets behind his Ezekiel choke backstage. So, very cool kind of extra piece there. But, yeah, like, Alexei Oleinik continues to be the type of guy who's going to lose two super athletic guys who can outbox him from distance. And Jared Vandera isn't that. Also, I'm going to ask you this. After watching that fight, do you still think you would take Ilir Latifi over Alexei Oleinik?
Probably, but who knows? Yeah, probably. I think you're
thinking about it, though. That's what I mean.
It's true. More positive. Too bad Vandera didn't learn the scarf hold while he was still, or the Ezekiel choke while he still had some UFC fights in his future, because that's probably it for him. 1-4 now, even in heavyweight, that's probably enough.
I mean, I will say this, short notice fights, he's taken a bunch of them, and my goodness, losing to the four guys he lost to, Spivak, Romanov, Orlovsky, and Oleinik. God, he is fighting a really, really tough run of opponents, too. So
give the man a nomination for once, right?
Yeah.
A Russian like, area.
Throw him Alan Baudot. Let him fight Alan Baudot.
There you go. And 44-year-old Oleinik says he's only got about between 5 and 10 more years to go. So enjoy it while you can. Now for the cheater portion of the card. Kay Hansen missed weight by a lot. So this turned into a catchweight, 118.5-pound fight. PR Rodriguez won because missing weight actually is not good for your chances to win fights. She won 29-28, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28, and the fall of Kay Hansen continues. But Rodriguez looked good regardless.
Yeah, Rodriguez looked faster like we said she would. She looked stronger like we said she should. I think it's a really easy fight to call. She won rounds 2 and 3 pretty handedly. I'll say this, you know, and I think we mentioned it on the preview show. It really would do Kay Hansen a great service to just go take 3 or 4 fights in Invicta and come back.
Yep.
Like, it did wonders for Angela Hill's career. Like, it, And I'm not saying, like, she belongs back on the regional scene. Like, there are girls or women in the UFC she could be. There are plenty of them. However, a lot of those women are you know, at the apex of their career where they're going to get only a little bit better. I think she's going to get a lot of better. I just would like to see her doing that in an environment that allows her to get better rather than one where she's getting the snot beat out of her all the time. So, yeah, like, Invicta, a couple of fights in CFFC or, like, you know, an LFA title run, like, all of those things I think would do her a great service.
She may have no choice in this matter anyhow. She's lost three straight now. But
she is really popular, though. She is really popular.
True. She has an OnlyFans, too, everyone. So there you go. That's why. Maybe they'll keep her around. But Dan says she's going to get a lot of better. So there we go. thoughts on Rodriguez? Any thoughts on her?
I mean, she's all right. Like, I don't think she's, she's anybody to, like, you know, circle as the future of 115. I think she brings a fun style, and she's, you know, young and undefeated. So, like, I'll be interested to see how she progresses. But, you know, like, ultimately, I think Kay Hansen's in a stage where she wasn't much of a test for somebody who's a fast striker who can stop being taken down, you know? And she did a really good job, I will say, too. And the couple times she was taking down those butterfly hooks, well done. Really nice looking.
There you go. Dan says well done. He's a purple belt. And then to start off the night, Julio Arce cheated and missed weight, but he barely missed weight, and he still won. So he went against the stats and actually won the fight. And we had him, too, because Dan and I started off the night on fire. So Arce beat Daniel Santos 32-7, 32-7, 29-28.
I will say possibly my best piece of analysis over the weekend was this fight.
Yeah, that's true. When I was watching it, I was like, wow, this is what Dan said was going
to
happen.
Yeah, Dan said he was going to 1-2 this dude to death. And sometimes it was just a lot of ones. Sometimes the two didn't even come. Sometimes it was just that jab repeatedly in Willie Cat's face until he got frustrated and threw something spinning, missed terribly, tired himself out, and ate another one. Yeah, it was just a lot of those jabs, those lead jabs from Arce. He just absolutely put it on him in a way that – I mean, I saw it coming, but I get why people were excited by Willie Cat, but there's a reason why this was my biggest recommended play of the week.
There's a reason why he's not a Wily Cat also. That proved it. He was not Wily at all. So that concluded the event. UFC also, they're doing something through crypto.com where they have fan bonuses of the night.
I fucking hate this, by the way. I fucking hate this.
Well, it's just pretend. It's paid in Bitcoin, so it's just pretend money anyhow. So, Hazmat
you're gonna get us another negative review from somebody.
Oh yeah, they don't know about Bitcoin. Hazmat Chimaev won $30,000, quote unquote $30,000 in Bitcoin. Alexander Volkanovski came in second. He won $20,000, and then Piotr Jan, who didn't look very good and lost, came in third. He won $10,000.
And Khamzat had maybe one of his least impressive, or at least one-sided performances. Performance of the night worthy type performances of his whole career. So I will say this. I also was notified on Twitter that you could start voting for this before any of these people fought. So similar to when they did, I don't know if you remember way back when, I think it was UFC 124. They did, fans got to choose the fight of the night, and there was absolute banger on the prelims between, I believe it was Sean Pearson, if you remember. Sean Pearson fought Matt Riddle, of WWE fame, Matt Riddle, and of Tough 7 fame, along with Matt Brown.
Yep.
My favorite season of Tough. It was like an absolute banger on the prelims and like a no doubter for fight of the night. And they gave it to GSP throwing 785 jabs into Josh Koscheck's face and breaking his orbital bone in like what was like a very one-sided, boring-ass fight, and that one won. So like it had vibes of that already where it was like this is just going to the people, the person people know the most about, which is kind of a huge bummer.
Like I said, it's just pretend money anyhow, Dan. Right,
I'm not going to get us the negative review. You go ahead and do that on your own.
you explain Bitcoin to me, then millennial. You tell me about Bitcoin.
I don't own any crypto. I'm sorry. I'm getting the negative review instead.
I threw the heat off myself and on it. And all right. So anyhow, it was a fun event. I didn't do the recap here. All right, I went 10-2. Ha ha ha. won $348. So for the year, I'm at 69% for my pick, 69. I am up $777, and that's almost a 6% return on investment. That's on every fight. That's how long can they ride this, Dan? We'll have to wait and see. Dan, not too shabby, 9-3, $264. He was up on the year. He's at 62% now, 62. Ha, ha, ha. He's still down money, though. $339. And
oh, striking distance to even money, though.
Yeah, you're right there. One big event, you're there. I won 348, so this event. So that would have put you out of the red and into the black. Recommended plays. Dan had Julio Arce, $40 on him. You won that. You had Josh Fremd. You lost that. $20. You had $20 on Mark Madsen. You won that. You had $10 on Gilbert Burns. You lost that. You had $10 on Malott via submission. You lost that. So you went 2-3.
You should have just subbed him when he fell.
I know. You went 2-3, but you were up almost $3 on that.
So $3, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, don't spend it all in one spot.
It's real money, though. It's not Bitcoin. So on the year, 59% recommended plays for you, up 18% return on investment, almost $200. I went 2-2, but I lost money because I had $20 in Olenek via sub. I hit that one. So I'm like, all right. But then I had $20 in Torres, almost had that. Torres via decision, that would have been very nice if I hit that, but I didn't. Had $20 in Madsen to hit that. Had $40 in Chimaev inside the distance, which I did not hit. So went 2-2, I was down 560. So on the year, I'm at 58% recommended play. So I'm right neck and neck with Dan. But my return on investment is only 9.4%. I'm half of what Dan brings to you. So he's been swinging for the fences, but he's been hitting more out. I think I'm going to have to lay off on some of these prop bets, Dan. I'm always like anti-prop bets, and then
they
I go like nonstop props when I get a chance. So maybe I really do like props after all. So this is it. Anyhow, fun event, profitable event in the books. All right, before we go on, last two sponsors for us. StableDuel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you are brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, daily fantasy style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes, which we all love. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with 3 games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. We're also brought to you by PropSwap. PropSwap is where America buys its own sports bets. They just had a big week with Masters Week with everyone getting in on their favorite golfers or selling their favorite golfers, buying and selling, making money. Who won the Masters, Dan? Do you know?
Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie someone?
Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. Anyhow. Scottie Scheffler.
No, I don't know him. So anyhow, it doesn't matter if you had a ticket on Scottie Scheffler, because if you had tickets on other guys and you sold them on PropSwap beforehand, you were a winner as well. So make sure you go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, quickly, before we're out of here, Dan had picks for you also for LFA on Friday. Did you watch LFA, Dan?
I watched the main event, and then I think I watched a prelim or two, but I can't remember which one exactly now.
The main event you hit, Aaron McKenzie, won via split decision. He's now the LFA lightweight champion, which probably means he's going to go to the UFC, right? That's usually how it works. He's 11-2. He splits decision over Lucius Cassius Clay. Thoughts on the fight? Your pick came through, which was good.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that Clay was as good at defending some of the takedown and offensive grappling stuff McKenzie was trying to do. But, he's pretty much ready for the UFC. He's kind of a later career guy, I will say. He's not 100% what the UFC usually snatches up for LFA winners.
Yep.
You know, he's already 33, which is kind of on the older side. But he's got a really great team behind him. He's got wins over he beat Joe Gianetti back in an earlier LFA event. So, like, he is a very legit dude, but something kind of makes me feel like he's going to wind up getting snatched up for Bellator as, like, an alternate for a lightweight Grand Prix or something like that.
He was in Bellator before.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see him back there again, unless his explicit goal is to be in the UFC. But he looked good there. Oh, I remember the other one I watched. I watched Devin Dixon fuck up and stick his head where it didn't belong.
Yeah, lost that one. El Machete chopped his head off.
Yeah, I mean, he just, like, dude, he looked like he was doing really well. And then, like, the thing I worried about Richie Miranda was, like, he didn't look like he did anything particularly great, but apparently he snatches up a guillotine really great. So, that was kind of a bummer.
Yep. So he had Aaron McKenzie over Lucas Clay, hit that one. You had Jimmy Lawson over Marino Eatman. He won via KO. 34 seconds.
Yeah,
was... fight. Dan hit that one.
I saw the replay of that, but that's all I saw.
So he had that, but then he lost on the Miranda fight, Richie Miranda over Devin Dixon, and then he lost over, Thad Jean, the Sarik Shields, and then you won the Adamu Isaiah, or however you say the name, Andrew Triolo. So you went, he won via knockout, 244 in the first round. So you went 3-2, but you were down almost $100, Dan. That was not what we were looking for.
It was all favorites too who won. Which is kind of a bummer. Yeah, I found a couple of dogs that I liked, and even those didn't come through. If I'm not mistaken, the entire fight card went only to favorites, which is pretty crazy, including. Because the last couple of fights they added was, like, Bryce Meredith was, like, a negative 2,000 favorite, and Mitchell McKee was, like, negative 1,500, and, like, both of them obviously won, too. So, the entire fight card, if I'm not mistaken, went to favorites.
And the UFC, what, had two underdogs come through last night? That was it? Sterling, Madsen, and I think that's it. Olenek was was even money.
Yeah, by fight.
Dern was slightly a slight favorite. So yeah,
yeah.
There you go. The favorites continue to rule.
Sterling being the only big one.
Yes, obviously. All right. Superfan John's asking questions about the top two fights in Bellator. Do you want to save that for our pick show on Wednesday, or do you want?
Yeah, let's give me a little time to prep for it.
Yeah, I'll do some research on it as well to give you all the info you need to know. All right, the UFC coming up on the weekend. They're in a stretch where we're getting a bunch of shows in a row. Luque versus Muhammad 2. It should be Luque versus Name 2, should it not?
Because we have to remember it.
Yeah, his name's Name. Remember the name. So anyhow, Bilal Muhammad, Vicente Luque. Not the most inspiring of fight cards. There's lots of fun on it, obviously, but not if you're a casual, this may not be the fight card for you.
You mean you're not jacked up to see William Thick Willie Knight going back to heavyweight to fight Devin Clark, who is also not a heavyweight?
Yes, I am looking forward to that. Not the most awe-inspiring card. And the aforementioned Bellator has a rematch, Pitbull versus McKee, and then it's at the top of the card, and then it has Corey Anderson versus that European fellow, what's his name again? I'm blanking on his name there. What's his name? Who's he fighting?
Are you talking about I actually don't know who he's fighting. Is he fighting the champ?
Vadim Nemkov, that's it. The Russian fellow.
He's fighting Nemkov.
Yeah. So we got two title fights, featherweight title fight, and then a light heavyweight fight. We got Aaron Pico, Timothy Johnson, who y'all have to love, Rafael Carvalho. It's a pretty good fight card as Bellator fight cards go. So Superfan John wants us to break down the AJ McKee versus Patricio Pitbull rematch and the Vadim Nemkov versus Corey Anderson fight, which we will because we listen to our fans. Whatever you guys want, guys and gals, the 1.5 girls that listen, we are here for you. So let's put this one to bed, Dan. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, let's put it.
All right. Read and subscribe to my site, moneymma.substack.com. Read all our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan's got the five pitchers for fantasy baseball that you should get in on this week as streaming options to win your league this week. I may actually have to take your advice on some of those because the season's not started off well for me in fantasy baseball. So he's got that. I will be having once the NBA play-ins and playoffs still are not set as we're recording this at 9 o'clock on the last 9 o'clock on the last evening of the season. There's still a bunch of things up in the air. So once all that's settled, I will have a preview of the play-in portion of the playoffs. That's a lot of peace. And picks and props. So I'll have that article up. Hopefully, well, it'll have to be tomorrow because it starts Tuesday. So hopefully tomorrow, as soon as the odds are out and the matchups are set, and then I will have a, when the regular playoffs start next week, and I'll have a preview for that as well. And then we cover every other sport, obviously, as well over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So read all that stuff. Listen to Dan's podcast, Prelim Primer, and Top Turtle MMA podcast. More on that on the Wednesday episode. And Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. Anything else?
I think you got it all.
All right, you take us home this week.
All right, I'm Dan Gumby Vreeland. He is the Tiny Tornado, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.